There we go. Did you hear that? It was said it's
I
been.
did.
Okay, good. Sometimes if I'm talking and you don't hear that, cut in and let me know, will you?
Okay, good.
Good. Well, I know that people are going to listen to this later, so I'm going to speak as though everybody's here, and they'll be popping on here shortly. Quite a few
okay.
people could talk to me about it. There's kind of a wind with you. It might be on your end, I'm not sure. But in a minute here, I may mute everybody, okay?
Okay.
So first, I really want to thank everybody. I got the most wonderful and fun emails for my football last week. And it made it a lot easier on me. I really felt so grateful and loved. I mean, it was just so cool. People are embracing the teaching. I just really embracing their hearts. And that just really meant a lot to me. So I really thank you. What else did I want to say? I think that's all about all I really had in the way of announcements, other than I really just wanted to ask a few people how things were going. And if you had any particular questions, just go ahead and I think *6 is to raise your hand, I'm pretty sure, but you don't have to do that until I mute everyone, okay? Here comes somebody. Hello?
Hi, this is Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. Nancy, Veronica's on the line, and someone else just came on, a 403 number.
This is Christine.
Christina, wonderful. All righty. And so we have Christina, Veronica, and Nancy. And I was just extolling my thanks and appreciation for the nice emails I got from the happenstance last week. So I really appreciate everybody's patience on that. And I won't do that again if more people come. So that's the last time I'll say thank you for a few minutes. Okay. And I'm going to go ahead and put the mute button on, and then I'm going to take it off and make sure that everybody can still hear me. Okay. So let's see. It's going to go mute. And so you all should be muted now and still should be hearing me. I'm going to say the word yellow. And let's see. I'll unmute you and see what happens. Okay. Did everybody keep hearing me? Oh, wait a minute. And mute off. There we go. Okay. Did everybody hear me all through that?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yep. All good.
All right. So I'm going to do it again. All right. Okay. So then if we're going to ask a question, I believe what we're going to do is use... I think it was *6. Oh, I'm in the wrong direction. So I'll get the right ones. Yes, it is. Question a *6. And I think what'll happen is I think since we're fairly quiet, I can just unmute everybody, but we'll see what happens, okay? So we've had quite a week. Several things that we've done. The first week was about centering. The second week was about imagining your perfect self, creating this imaginary being in such a way that we can all speak to it in the present instead of speaking to the past. And so let's just take, I'm going to unmute us now, and I want us all to do this together. So we're going to have this, let's see. We're going to have, there we go. So the muting is off. So I just want us all to take a minute and breathe together. And we're just going to blend our energy. And just let everything from the past go, any concerns of the day, any open loops, just let them go. Just close them up. And feel yourself as though you're being sucked into like the neck of a bottle, and you're just, everything's coming together, and it's just bringing you right into this moment right now, and you're just so pop and come out the other side, and you're here. And notice how just breathing and setting the intention to tap in changes the energy. And soon, like I just felt a nice surge of energy. I know everybody's all tapped in and connected here. And this is how simple it is to come into this oneness when we really want to do it. And just like we were talking about individually, and sometimes I think I might have stated it, is that, you know, when you want to do something, any excuse will do. And when you don't want to do anything, any excuse will do. And so when we are going to dedicate ourselves 100% to ourselves, look for excuses for you to do what you want to do. Like Cheech and Chong, you know? I don't know if anybody remembers those guys. They're a couple of comedians, and he said, I need a volunteer for this particular, you know, job. And you're always taught in the service not to volunteer because those are the dangerous jobs. And they were coming up with things. Oh, I have to reprimer the Jeep, you know. I have to get a drink of water, whatever it was. But you see, when you don't want to do something, any excuse will do. So just look at the past couple of weeks now. We've had an incredible week of learning how to center ourselves, how to reframe, use our imaginations, quiet the mind, you know. And then great place of surrender and stillness. And then learn to create a vision of yourself that's actually true. Because it is your I Am presence that actually brings that beautiful vision into place.
Greg, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but there's some loud background noise that...
Yeah, somebody's breathing heavily into their phone, possibly. I may have to mute, and then just... there's a thing called Q&A, and you're making my heart pound because I haven't used that one before. But I believe if I hit the Q&A, then all you do is hit *6, and when you want to talk, you just hit that, and I click a button. Now, if I don't hear from anybody in the next minute or two, as a matter of fact, that's Christine talking?
No, this is Nancy.
Okay, Nancy. Nancy, what I'm going to put Q&A on. Would you hit *6?
Sure.
Okay. Okay. And Nancy will hit *6, I think. And I can, there we go, Q&A. So then I think I hit engage. See if you can say something, Nancy.
Hello.
Ah.
I don't have a question, but...
Okay.
Not yet.
All right. And also you can share what's going on in your life, but that works. So *6 will get you on. So
okay.
Why don't we, I'll put Nancy out of the Q&A, then she can come back in if she wants. And I believe all two, when we're done, you can also hit *6 and that will mute you if you want to try that.
Okay. *6 to mute?
Yeah.
I think, wasn't *6 to get into Q&A?
I think, oh, it put you, it kept you on disengage. Oh, okay, disengage. So then I do that, and yeah, you're disengaged. Okay. All right, so we're all muted, but we're in Q&A. And what I'm going to do is I'll take that off for a second. Well, wait, let's try it this way. Does anybody have a question or anything they want to share, like any wins that they had particularly? It's awfully important to look at what's working. To catch yourself doing things what might call right. And what catching yourself doing something right can also look like it's right to catch yourself doing something that isn't working. Now, I want to say that again. It's right to catch yourself doing things that isn't working, that aren't working. Because then awareness is the first stage of your change. It's the first way that you can actually but once you become aware, you can do something about it. If you're not aware, you can't do anything about it. So by catching yourself all of the time doing something right or following through, like think about one of the or two of the ahas that you've had, and how is that affecting your life? Or did you have them and say, oh my God, that's the most simple and beautiful thing, I'll never forget that, and the next day it is gone. And that happens to you guys, but it sure does happen to me sometimes. So I we'll get Q&A session's over. Get that? So we got to stop. No. I think you're all unmuted now. Who wants to try something? Oh, nobody's talking, so mute off and try that. Here we are. I hear somebody.
This is Nancy, so I can hear, you know, can you hear me?
Yes, good. Okay. You might want to speak up just a little bit for us, Nance.
Oh, okay. Can you hear? Well, I don't have a question or an aha moment. I just want to make sure that you could hear me. So.
Oh, okay. Well, let me, while can I put you on the hot spot here?
Sure.
We had some incredible ahas.
Yes.
in our last session, and you were whirling around. Can you just take a nice deep breath and just say the first thing that comes up?
Well, I think the biggest aha for me was that the thing that I was complaining about was the thing that I was creating. So, meaning the thing that I thought someone was doing to me was the thing that I was creating. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Anybody have a comment on that? Somebody having the same similar thing? In other words, there's a sentence called, what you resist persists. So I believe that everybody's out to get me. And so I walk outside and I look at everyone like a possible sniper. Yeah? Like that,
yeah.
Nancy?
Yeah.
And if you kind of look across the street, everybody else is just walking out having a nice time.
Right.
So what it is that's occurring in our life, this is a great example of how powerful, how creative we are. We are. And I don't mean creative in terms of art or dancing or singing or things like this. What I mean is our creative power. If you ever want to find out what your creative power is, I've said this once before, go buy a lottery ticket. And you'll hear yourself going, well, the odds are really against me. It would be nice to win, but, you know, I never win these kind of things. You've already spit it out to the universe that you're not going to win. And so the universe will oblige. There was a fellow that won the lottery 7 times. And they grilled him and grilled him and grilled him. And why, as to why, I mean, they thought he cheated somehow, which also brings up questions in my mind. Because how could you cheat in a random game? But at any rate, they grilled him. And it came down to, he said, I keep telling you. See, most people are excited about what they're going to do with the money. They're not excited about winning. He said, I'm excited about winning. I like to win. So all of my concentration and all of my thoughts before I go in to buy a lottery ticket are about winning. Not what I'm going to spend the money on, but about winning. And he won 7 times. Not bad creative power, huh?
That's wonderful. I think I'll try that.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Yeah. Now, who is an idea, like something in their life, you have something in your life that you're resisting, something that, oh, I've made, here's another way to say it, a perfectly responsible way. You say, oh, I've made these choices, and some of them didn't work out so well. And by the way, those particular ones are your fault. Or when I hear people say, through no fault of my own, and every red flag in my mind goes up. Because we create everything that's going on in our lives. We create every single thing. You say, oh, how is that possible? And, of course, people like to say, so I was born with leukemia and I created that. And from the most pure spiritual aspect of at the other side, while you're these etheric beings, you needed to experience what it was like to be ill. And so you came into the world ill so that you could experience it. And the people that actually conceived you also were, these are people to bless profusely. for playing the game with you because of the sacrifices they will make as a result of your being born in this way. And so did you choose? Absolutely. That makes sense. Anybody have an exception to this rule? Any brave soul? I'll keep going, but you know, if you have a question, hit star 6. I can still pick it up, I believe, or just chime in. Because see, there's certain laws that we have to follow. Well, we don't have to follow them. That's the whole idea. We can, which means that change in our lives would be inevitable because we would be following the law. And the law constantly always changes. It's when we go against the law that, you know, that's the part that's optional. You say, oh, I'm going to go against this, or I'm not going to listen to it. It doesn't apply to me. And that's the option called suffering. So it looks like this. You're standing at a red light, and you're sitting with your buddy, and you're talking to them, and they say, you know what, you can go now. It's green. You say, oh, no, it's red. I saw it was red. And this goes on for about 5 or 6 minutes, and then finally your buddy hits you in the nose and says, look, it's red. It's green now, rather. You can go. And you say, ah, you see, the second you took a truth from the past and created a belief system out of it, you are no longer in the flow. And now you say, ah, you can go, but you can't go, see, because the traffic is so messed up now that cars can't go anywhere because people went around and people cut in, and then people who were in a hurry tried to go before someone else, and they got stuck in the middle, and all of these things began to happen. All of our logic and our mental minds about this whole thing being someone else's fault, and people get out and get into fist fights and all of that thing, and there's physical damage done. This is not unlike our veins and arteries in our bodies. When we restrict ourselves by not going in the flow, staying in the truth. Now just take a nice deep breath and see what's going on for you. Where has this shown up in your life? See what comes to mind. And remember, when I'm saying to check in, it's like you're looking into every cell of your body. You just let yourself, as if you have this bubble of water in your head and it just bursts and just pours down through your body. And you allow whatever needs to come up, just to come up. You surrender to the stillness. This is how we use the tools. And you see what it is. And if you're finding something, and whether you want to share it or not, or if you're not finding something, it's okay too. Say, ah, I see. I'm now a perfect being. Nothing's wrong. Or you can say, ah, in this quiet, I did find something. And this is a time to use the other. I forgive myself. I love myself. Boy, if you don't think I wasn't doing that last week when I hit the hold button. But so quickly my energy was ready to drop. It was ready to, oh boy, I just blew this whole thing. And on and on. And I could listen to all of this supportive criteria that I could gather from my whole life saying, this is why this happened, you dumbbell. Or, as my father used to call me, you bum. Which later I found out that was to be in his most coveted inner circle, because it meant he cared for me. But when these things occur in our lives, it's time in that exact moment to forgive it, to let it go. If you have to be angry, you know, find one of those, you know, plastic things and or a pillow and smack the pillow around, so get rid of it. And then don't forget in your mind's eye just to look at the pillow and say, and send that anger, that energy qualified with your thought forms into the universe to be requalified and sent to the appropriate gods and goddesses to have the appropriate thing done with it. And And you begin to understand when you do these things that you're not just your intellect, you're not just your body, that your I Am Presence is here giving you a message to teach you. To teach you that you and your I Am Presence are one. Your perfect self are one. And everything that you're given, everything that you're going through, your I Am Presence even lets you think that you're thinking. This perfect self of yours. This divine being that you created in your imagination. And imagination trumps thought and logic every single time. It's why in any particular event, when you're asked what happened, and when many people are asked what happened, if there's 16 people, there's going to be 16 different stories. Because each person instantly went back in their logic, went back in their intellect, brought up images of their belief systems, applied them to the situation, and then told the story. One could say that was all their imagination. See how powerful it is. Oops, somebody wanted to say something? I'm hearing my own echo. Somebody's got to say something, so I know you're there.
We're here.
Oh, good.
I had you on mute. So.
Oh, okay. So it just took a minute there. Fine. All righty. Good, good. Thank you. What's going on for anybody? Anybody like to share anything at all? Who has been, like, really practicing the centering? Just answer to out loud or to yourself. This is like the cornerstone, the base. The place to stop.
I have not been practicing it, and I do feel a need for it. So, and I was just, while you were speaking, I was actually drifting a lot, and so I was thinking, gosh, I sure do need to ground myself right now so I could just focus on what you're saying.
Hmm. Brilliant. I really appreciate your honesty and coming forth with that, because in our lives, if we think of it this way, if anybody has ever gone to like a financial planner, and they'll tell you, like, no matter how much you're earning, no matter how rigid it is that you think that you make just to the penny what you need, if you put 10% away before you ever do anything else with the rest of your money, you never miss it. Your entire thought paradigm changes then to the new amount. And miraculously, you make it. It's the same thing with centering. It's the exact same thing. It's like if you center like 15 minutes a day, it's 1/96 of your life. Now, imagine how much of your life goes by in negative thought forms, self-flagellation, blaming, condemning. And if you're doing this even onto somebody else or judging them, you're judging an aspect of yourself. And all of that is a very, very poor use of your time. And if you centered yourself, you simply get to the direction that you need to go very quickly, get the focus, you get the answer, you find the direction, and you begin to act on it immediately. Now, in the back of people's minds, a lot of people say, oh, well, I didn't hear anything. And I said, well, wait a minute, you did ask. And one of Jesus' famous sayings, ask and you shall receive. When you ask a question, you do get the answer. And this is where there's another tool that we haven't talked about at all yet, but it's called faith. The faith in yourself, you trust in yourself, that when you have asked the question, you do get the answer. Now, for a lot of people, particularly if you're stuck in your head, if you've got a lot of thoughts, if you're very powerful of the mind, if you're used to operating and leading with your brain, okay, then you may get the answer in such a way that your brain cannot get a hold of it. Like you might hear the words Christmas tree frogs, or you might hear some crazy thing that doesn't seem to fit in your life at all. But it always reminds me of one time I was trying to remember this fellow's name, and I was talking to my business partner, and I said, you know the fellow we built the house for and such a town and so on? And I said, starts with a W. He goes, yeah, Barry, you know. I go, what? He goes, that's it. But somehow the W keyed us both in to his name. See, I'm asking for the name. I hear the word W, so I say it, and it leads me to the correct name. See, sometimes the way we've wired things, and those synapse firings are in there, aren't necessarily in the order that we put them in or the order we expect them to come back out. Kind of like defragging your computer. It places information all over the place. It's connected to other things side by side. But when you defrag the computer, then it takes all of those components and puts them back in to what would be called a sequitur conversation that's distinct from a non-sequitur, things that don't seem to fit together. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the more that you center, and each time you center, you're more centered than ever before. It builds. And the more times you build your perfect presence, the more times you go visit it, the more times you ask your perfect presence, your I am presence, your heart of hearts, the divine energy source that you are, the more times that you speak to that, the easier it becomes. Now think about this. You could speak to that, or you could speak to your past. Which would you prefer? Check in right now. What's going on? I just learned something. You ready? It's that. I remember like when I get on some of these calls, people always have the people say their own name. I said everybody's name. And so I realized that by saying my own name, everybody kind of, they're already used to speaking into the phone. And so they're more likely to ask a question or bring something up. So who's going to take the dare?
I will if you like.
Ah, I would like. Veronica, would you like to tell where you live?
I live in Brisbane, Australia.
Ah, brilliant. And have you been able to do some of these exercises?
I've been doing the centering every day.
Brilliant.
Sometimes twice a day. If I can, three times a day. I do the short version that mm-hmm. you gave me.
Excellent.
Mostly. I fall asleep in the long one, which is nice. But I find that the short version helps keep me grounded during the day when I feel like I'm going to, when I feel like I'm not able to hold it together real well. So.
Mm-hmm.
I've got it on my phone, so I stick my earphones in and I'll just walk around and
brilliant.
And listen.
That's actually extraordinary, the way I would like to hear it being used. Like a second we start to feel like we're leaving a reality, like we say, oh, our brain's taking over, it's punching in the old stuff. Say, just a minute, I am in control here.
Mm.
Not your intellect, not your brain. Not your personality. I am in control here. I'm really, really excited to hear that.
I had a challenging week. Ended up taking my husband to emergency on Monday. And he's okay. That's all fine.
Oh.
But I found that was challenging me on with my with what I have, you know, which is panic and anxiety. And I found myself just just constantly connecting to I am during that process, so that I felt I wasn't on my own trying to manage all of that. And I feel it helped a lot.
Wow. And you said something that just really warms my heart. I am not alone.
Mm.
You can never be alone. And you just experienced that. I don't know about the rest of you, but that just sends chills down my spine.
Mm.
So you see how this works. And in a situation where minor things might create, you know, some anxiety and some discontent, and yet here's something that could possibly potentially have been a larger thing, challenging you to actually go to a special place for that. It's like, and I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
I have the unlimited supply and support of the entire universe at my beck and call. That was the covenant and agreement thing that we did right at the beginning in the first section. And I usually like to say that towards the end when we have deeper understandings. But then I thought, no, let's plug that in right at the beginning. That's how life works. Somebody says, hey, this is the way it is, and we've all got to do it, you know. So,
well, I've got that on my phone. I've got that on my phone as well. And I listen to that about 3 times a day.
Ah, oh, you cheater, the truth comes out.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. You see, we're creating a new, like a corporation that has unlimited powers, tremendous influence, and to the naked eye doesn't even exist. But to your inner vision, it is the absolute reality of your existence. Did you guys get that picture I sent of myself? The light being?
Uh-uh.
No.
Oh my gosh, there is some snafus going on here. I'm going to send it to you. Not now, because I'm not that quite talented just yet. I do all these different things, but I had a photograph taken. There were 5 of us. Amongst us was a grandmaster. And instead of seeing our bodies, all you see is our light bodies. And it was taken with a regular camera.
Lovely.
And I wondered why I got no response from that. I sent it in an email to everyone. I've sent several emails. Let me just ask right now. Has everybody gotten, like, did you get one a little while ago and yesterday?
I got that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I just didn't get your picture.
Man. Okay, I'm working on it. Actually, I'm going down to get a new computer in a couple of days.
Oh, good.
as if all this wasn't a challenge enough. We're gonna do a grand. Yeah, we're gonna do a grand slam, and I'm switching from PC to Mac. And I've been down there playing with it because we were trying to get through all these things, and I had all these computer tech things going on with the PC. And so then I saw the Mac, and I said, okay, let's try this. And I was able to do things much more easily. And I'm going to keep them both until I get one running really smooth. But here's the thing. It's like I wanted that. I wanted you to see that, to really have a visualization, because this was a reality that occurred. And I have participated in several ceremonies of this nature where we have taken photographs now. Some people saw this. I particularly didn't with my naked eye. But with a camera, we saw lights going through each one of us into each of our hearts. Brilliant lights, like a lightning bolt. And then another one was the same sort of thing, but there was a huge angel above us. And I don't mean a little wisp of something you could, like a cloud, and you pretend it's an angel. This is like a real, you can see it. And then this latest time, at this same ceremony, I didn't see the group pictures, but somebody had snapped a photograph of myself and 4 other people, and that's how it came out.
So this was just randomly?
Yes.
Wow.
and this is who we really are. Now, I want to share something with you, too. I was at in Sedona with Drumvalo Melchizedek, and he was talking about when we focus inward and focus our attention inward and inward and inward and inward, pretty soon it looks like the universe. And we begin to realize the vastness of the space around us. And I, since then, have created an incredible guided visualization, which we're going to do towards the end here, because it's so unbelievably powerful in how it works. But what he said was, we are the universe, period. In other words, I would say, instead of I am, I'd say, universe, speak to me. Instead of I am, speak to me. Or I would say, universe, bless you. Or thank the universe, or thank universe, you know, this is how it is. And about 1998, I was in India in Sai Baba's ashram, and I was painting a sign. He was standing next to me, and I didn't see him. And everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy because I'm right next to him, you know, and I'm thinking, what's going on? And I look up, and of course, there he is. I was kind of on my knees painting this sign. And I thought, I have any question in the world I could ask. And what fell out of my mouth was, this is my son, because my son was sitting there. And he says, yes, I know. And he starts to walk away. And I hear from the central core of my bones, like every cell of my body, I hear this voice say, who are you really? And he spun around. Now, I said this in my mind. I didn't say it out loud. Okay, so somebody's making lots of noise just in their phone. Okay. So he spun around, and he just, like, waved his hands up, like straight up his hands above his head, and then out to the side, and showed me the entire universe. And I didn't understand. I mean, I could see it all. I could grasp it in that moment. And the second he stopped doing it, it was gone. It was like looking into looking into space. Then I could see it, but I really can't understand it. Somehow he conveyed me this deeper understanding. And I did get what was going on, but could I ever explain it? Very difficult. Until I heard Drumvalo say that. And all of a sudden, the two things come together. We are the universe. We are apart from any other beings in the universe in the sense that we have a physical form. And we now are evolving to the point where, etherically, we can connect and tap into all that is. So our bodies are everywhere, every place, all at once. So the words, I don't know, eventually just simply do not ever roll from your lips. And why centering is so important, why focusing on these visions are so important, because we can't awaken to this fact until you can get away from the consciousness of our body and our intellect, which so long, and it's like, you want to talk about slavery, so long have held us enslaved. So it's time to feel that within. It's time to feel the I am presence, the universe within, before you can know that it's there. And that's why we went to the next stage of saying, let's create something that at least we can attach to from our three-dimensional perspective that appears and is real, remembering that it's scientifically shown that our brains don't know the difference. And you create this new reality instead of trying to deal with the realities, a jumble of realities that you created, made up, imagined, altered throughout time, and tried to make sense out of it. Would you say, Veronica, that this is bringing you closer to your goals, to what it is that you want to create?
Yes, it is. For sure. It helps me to just stay a little bit grounded, and connected. But also, I guess more than that, it also is helping me to step back into my own power. I think that's more important. So instead of reacting and straight away going into an anxious state, I feel like I can step more into responding and feeling a little bit more like I'm in charge rather than events and circumstances around me are dictating how I'm feeling.
Absolutely. Listen to that. It was brilliantly stated. Rather than events around me dictating how I'm feeling, I get to dictate. I get to choose. Do you remember, I think I've had this discussion, I think possibly not with you, Neil, but I think with most everyone here, and that's my anger is mine, yours is yours. I could park the car in the wrong space for the 12th time in a row, you know, in the driveway, and you could get blustering angry about it. Your anger has nothing to do with me. How about that? Anger is your choice. I could come in and you could tackle me and throw me on the ground and tickle me with a dozen feathers and say, "You did it again. You're such a buffoon. I love you so much." That's one of the reasons I love you. You can't park the car in the right spot and it allows me the freedom to be me. Wouldn't it be grand? See, it's just a choice. And when you're coming from that space, what I'm hearing, Monica, is like you're getting yourself into this space. Yeah. And Nancy, I know you've shared with me too. You're getting yourself into this space. Christine's just joining us too, and she's getting herself into this space. And then what happens is you have choice. I'm like experiencing I have teachers of patience with me on my trip to Las Vegas here, and the patience is in the form of my mother, who's also here, my sister, who's very ill, and my brother-in-law, who's elderly. And getting up and jumping into the car in the morning consummates around 11:30. That's jumping up and getting into the car. Now, sometimes I forget. So oftentimes the discussion about breakfast usually turns into a discussion about lunch. Now, can you imagine that you're ready to go somewhere? You say, "Oh, yeah, let's go. We're leaving now." I know I have about an hour and a half. But when I forget that, I feel this angst. You know, I say, "Well, I'm ready to go. Where is everybody? What's going on? I want to get this accomplished." You know, particularly I'm saying, I always make this fatal, not always, but I sometimes make the fatal error. I'm going to run out and do one thing. Anybody want to come with me? And I'm standing there with the keys in my hand like an idiot. This is not going to happen. So now I've learned. You see, I say, "Hey, I'm going to run right out and do this quick errand. Anybody want to come?" And they all go, "Yes." I go take a shower, get ready, have breakfast, and then we go. Now, I could get angry. I feel it coming up sometimes. But that would be my anger. It has nothing to do with them. They are who they are. It's not going to change, do you see? We accept things as they are. We can do that once we accept ourselves. We do this without thinking. We allow this divine command to penetrate deep into our soul. And we can say, "Be still and know I am the universe. I am God. And let that penetrate deep into your soul. And let whatever impressions come to you, when you quiet your mind, let them enter at will without any effort or interference on your part. When you speak to your I am and you ask your I am presence, that part of you which is connected to that part of me which always knows, always did know, always was and always will know, then decisions aren't even an issue. You have simple choice. Effortlessly. And then when you start to get some of these messages, somewhat, you know, of their vital significance, it just begins to dawn upon your consciousness. And then you begin to speak words that are meaningful to you, words that empower yourself, words that are lined up with all that is, words that create health in your body, your mind, your emotions, and your spirit. And it's as though then you're speaking the words from and to every cell of your body, every faculty of your mind, with all the conscious power that you could possibly muster. You've heard or seen people like this, you know, and like the mythical people like Hercules, or you may hear somebody, you know somebody when they enter the room and they don't say much, but when they speak, everyone else is silent. I noticed that about a lot of the masters that I sat at the feet. I'll ask them a 20-paragraph question, and they answer with a, yes, that's very wise. That's the whole answer. And I go, ah, and my brain trips all over itself, trying to plug in all the places and ask 20 more questions. So what I learned, I was trying to ask some questions to the great being Sai Baba when I was on his ashram. And I said, well, how can I do this? There's millions of people here. And so you get one question in your mind, one question, and you will get one answer. The trouble is, see, we have 1,000 questions. We ask 1,000 questions at once, and we get 1,000 answers, and we're in the same place that we started. Like when I hired some marketing companies a long time ago, they gave me so much information. I was in the same place I started. I couldn't make heads or tails of any of it. I didn't know what to do. And when I bring this other marketing company aboard, they say, I make it a point. I say, treat me like I'm in kindergarten. They say, that's our whole program, one step at a time. Do this, then we'll do the next thing. Do this, then we'll do the next thing. And when I'm focused on one thing completely, it happens. I get everything else out of the way. This is what we're doing when we center ourselves and when we focus upon the I am presence, when we say, be still, when we surrender, such a sweet, sweet word, surrender to the stillness. Just like you did, Veronica, you're taking your husband to this place and you surrender. Say, I'll just be quiet a moment. I won't let my mind and these circumstances run amok with me. I am.
It's pretty much what I did.
Brilliant. Christine, are you with us still?
I'm here.
What do you think of all this?
I was going to use the word interesting. Inside joke.
It's hard to hear you a little bit. Have you got a speakerphone on? Or?
I do. Is that better?
A little bit.
Is that better?
Yes, much.
I don't know how to say this eloquently, but sometimes I feel like my brain is going to explode. When I hear everything that you say and then people phone speak in and say about their experiences, But it's all good. I just sort of close my eyes and let it all sink in.
I think, I don't know, speaking for myself and maybe everybody here, we've all been at this place where we feel our brain's going to explode. Mm-hmm. And just what you say so simply, I just close my eyes and just let it come through. I equate this to like when I used to do healing work in person only. And I would be working over a person's body, the physical body, and having to just allow all of my personal thoughts to go away. No matter what it was, I'd say, no, this person is holy. This is the person on the table. This is God. And by saying those kinds of words to myself, it was a self-imposed, almost, I won't say a fear, because I felt very comfortable with it, but it was like this ominous presence I felt watching over me and helping guide me. And when I felt that, then I said, this is the right way to go. So I asked myself to help myself. Do you hear that? And I just let go. Now, some people are very empathetic, and what that means is your telepathic qualities, your ability to tap into the consciousness of all that is very strong. And what makes us feel like our heads is going to explode is because usually those also are people who are very strong-minded, very learned, paid attention sequentially, methodically, learn by the book, so to speak, A, B, C, and then you go to D, E, F, G, and you can't skip one. And then you go to Z, see, and you methodical people just jumped. You can't go from D to Z, right? You can feel it. It's not right. You go, oh, my God, we got to go back and pick up where this left off. When all that's happening truly is that the intellect is putting up roadblocks around, saying, no, you can't go here, you can't go here. We've known this, we've learned this, this is the way it is. The light is still red. And what you have done effectively, and I really want to applaud you for that, is to say, no, I just close my eyes and let it go through. So when I was doing healing work and things were flying off people, and I'm very visual, I see them, and it looked like, oh, well, let me tell you, the horror movies on TV don't have anything on what we harbor inside ourselves. And what these are, they aren't beings. They're spirits of thought. There's certain thoughts put together that create a negative thought form. And when we have so many of those, it becomes a negative thought form that begins to influence our thinking. Simply, somebody who drinks too much, you know, they have the negative thought form is, well, I have to do this. Or this and this, and the world is awful, so I just need to drink to get away. Whatever it is. And then it becomes to have a spirit of its own. Eventually, that's what somebody might call an alcoholic. You see, that spirit takes over the soul. And that spirit is running the body. So you just allow it to pass through you. Just even visualize it going through you. Or you could even, I used to do things like I'd set up, like I'd pretend I'm a snowplow, because we're from Syracuse, you know, and all that. It's all upstate New York, all the snow is. And I would see the thoughts hit the blade and go around me. So I was this big macho snowplow. And then after a while, I thought, I saw myself swimming. And I would do like the breaststroke, and you would push your arms out in front of you and push everything out of the way. So when things came at me, I just let them go around me. And these were just things that I made up, but guess what? Imagination trumps logic every time. Is that helpful?
Yeah.
Now we have about 3 or 4 minutes left. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add or say? And then I want to say a few things about this coming Wednesday.
I'm done.
Okay.
Were you going to do a guided visualization for us?
Yes, they're coming online. We're finding out where they were. We will be doing that. They've already been made. We're getting them into the queue so that you'll have them for each week. So I think everybody got the centering, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the guided visualization of the imagery for the perfect self should be on there. I think it's going to be on today. And then there'll be another one next Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay. So we shifted systems and it kind of put us back a little bit, but we'll catch right up here. And then we're going to do some special things to thank you for your patience, as it were. Mm. Okay. I am going to actually, for next week, I'm going to send you, my heart beats when I say that, I'm going to send you a image. And if I can't manage that, I'm also going to explain it so that you can draw it. Okay? And it's an image that's going to help us. We're going to be talking about the balance, because as you center more, and I would implore you, I would just, almost to the point I would beg you, I would do anything that to tell you to use these tools every second that you get a chance. I discovered that when I was doing this, every time I wake up at night, I think I'm waking up every night 4 or 5 times. That's not usual for me. And so I thought, well, maybe I need to, I'll just use some of these tools and get myself back on track. Because usually it's some dissonant thought that wakes me up, or some type of a dream that I say, oh, I don't understand this right now. And I'll go right into one of the tools and I'll be still and know I am God. I'll use my imagination and think, ah, I am powerful, connected and centered, you know, and I will say things to myself, or I will say the covenant and agreement, even though I don't remember all the words. And when I wake up the next morning, it's incredible the differences in my life. And so these are tools to use. Now, when we become really quiet and we use our imagination to communicate with ourselves in the present, we're going to be entering into a lot of different worlds. Worlds that you're going to look at the same tree and it's going to look differently. You're going to look at people and the joke is, my, how you've changed since I've changed. Because you're going to see things differently. You're going to think they're changing. They're not. Your perception is changing. And we're moving very rapidly with the rising vibrations of the earth and the planets that surround us. So our energy is raising exponentially. It's even why some of us are having so much difficulty, because we are so open. It's like a little bit of overwhelm, but all we have to do is say, be still and know I am God. You can even say, universe, slow down, give it to me one piece at a time. And when I said that, I found a marketing company that gave me one piece at a time. You see how it works. So what's going to happen is you're going to have one toe in this great, wonderful spiritual place and one toe still in this three-dimensional world that we still must live in. We're human beings. And so we're going to be needing and wanting to create a balance so that we can do this with great harmony and ease. So I'm really looking forward to this next week. And do practice, practice, practice. After all, you've been practicing who you are since the day you were born to this moment. So, and the good news is you've been doing that at random. So it took an awful long time to get to where you are. The really good news now is that you're going to do this, what we call vectored. You're going to bring all of these things to a point, a very sharp point, that it's going to be like that snowplow that takes you right straight through where you want to go. Because you're going to concentrate your thought. You're going to be directing the simplicity of your ideas, moving them through your imagination, seeing the truth, choosing your actions and acting upon them. And you do this, it happens rather rapidly. And when this begins to happen, it becomes your mode of operation. So things don't overwhelm you, because the things you don't want to pay attention to that aren't in that little snowplow, that vector of yours, are just going to be sliding off to the side. They'll never be lost. You can always retrieve them. So, oh, shouldn't I let that one go by? You can bring it back. Use your imagination. Pretend you're a frog and snap it with your tongue and bring it back. And it doesn't matter what you do as long as you do it. So we're going to use that time to come into balance, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, so we can live in both worlds comfortably. Does that make sense? All right. I will see you all next week. I'm very much looking forward to it. Have an incredibly beautiful and wonderful day.
You too, Greg.
Thank you. Thank you, Gregory.
God bless.